Amen. Awesome. So I've got the BBC and ITV, apparently, and I'm both plugged into both. One's amplification and one's recording. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Is it on? Okay, right. It doesn't sound like to me. That's fine. Okay, good. We're still in Hebrews, and we're in Hebrews 10. And this chunk that I'm doing today is, do not, therefore, abandon that confidence of yours. It brings great reward. For you need endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Okay, so I'm hoping that this morning is going to be one of those sessions where you come away with more questions than answers. Because I got really confused. That seems like a really good way of not worrying about the fact that I got really confused when I was preparing for this. I think, though, it's not just that. It's also, I think that it's as you work through those questions in your own life that you'll make progress with the Lord. And so that's why it's good to have questions and have to think about things for weeks sometimes. And yeah, okay. So Hebrews 10, verse 35-36. When, I don't know if when you did RE GCSE or if you've heard it in sermons since, that whenever there's a therefore in the Bible, you have to ask yourself, what is the therefore there for? You heard that one little no, there's a no at the back. Anyone else? Everyone? Oh, I've got some other nods and some no's. Okay, I'm not there, but good. So, what is the therefore? And in this case, I also wanted to ask myself, what is this confidence they're talking about? In the same way, what is the confidence, therefore? But that doesn't sound the same. Anyway, so you need to read back a bit and around. And when we get, the confidence bit is in Hebrews 10, verse 19. So a little bit earlier, it's the beginning of this sentence, the beginning of this paragraphy thing. In some texts, it's titled A Call for Perseverance, A Call to Perseverance. And it says, therefore, oh dear, there's another therefore, we need to go back again. Okay, we'll do that in a minute. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus. So our confidence that they're talking about here, in pinky purple, is the confidence to enter the sanctuary, to get into the holiest holies and come up to God and to be in his presence because of the blood of Jesus. And so we have this confidence. That's awesome. That's a whole sermon in itself, but that's not really what I'm talking about today. What's the therefore in that? Well, the whole of the first bit of chapter 10, for quite a while, is talking about Christ's sacrifice once and for all, and how we don't make lots of other sacrifices anymore. Jesus did the work, and we're sanctified by his blood and our faith in him. And so, actually, I haven't written this up, but in verse 22, it then says, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So again, we've got hearts, we've got confidence, we've got full assurance, we've got faith. We're saved by a faith. So that reminded me, though, I don't know if anyone else is going, oh, that's like the bit in Romans 5, because that's what it made me think of. I'm not getting lost. Okay. So Romans 5, we also boast or rejoice or shout, apparently. It could be any of those words. We also boast in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And I'm going to finish the rest of that sentence in a minute. So, hope and faith. And then the next bit in Hebrews is about faith and how faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So it's about confident faith. And that's all really good. But how do we get this confident faith? Well, the first therefore was just after talking about those earlier days when you endured sufferings. Oh, I love that there's a couple of people with their Bibles open and you're trying to follow along with me. So I'm on chapter 10, verse 32 in Hebrews. See, there's a bit of flicking around. You can see how I got myself confused. Recall those early days when, after you'd been enlightened, you endured hard struggle with sufferings. So that was what the first therefore was. Because of the hard sufferings, therefore, don't abandon the confidence you have. The confidence in being able to come into God's presence because of Jesus' blood. Okay. So that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. I have not got onto what's promised. I think, again, that's another sermon. And I think next week Dave's talking about faith. Maybe he'll touch on that. Over to you, Dave. but that will, it's obviously something good that's been promised. So, I'm getting confused, and I feel a bit like, have you ever seen on YouTube? I spent a lot of time on YouTube. YouTube suggested this. First of all, it was British people reacting to the cost of healthcare in America. And they're doing, you know, on the street, interviewing people. Guess how much an ambulance ride costs in America. You know, they're going, 200 quid? What? No more? No way, I was guessing high, and they're like 2,000 to 3,000. What? and inhalers, like the basic, you know, asthma inhaler. Was it 100 quid? It was along there. And there's one after going, no way, for a while, she was the best, and saying, shut the front door, and all this. And she says, so basically, if you're poor, you're dead. And then watching Americans reacting to the NHS is even more amazing, because they go, well, okay, first of all, they'll be like, no, I can't go to the doctor, I can't afford it. No, I can't take an ambulance. Don't get an ambulance for me, I can't afford it. And this sort of thing. And everyone's like, not just in the UK, but in all of Europe where healthcare is affordable, they're going, what are you talking about? It's a few quid. And the Americans are like, what? I couldn't believe it. And then some of the stuff, they had some care, and they were in the NHS, and they were like, okay, but who do I pay on the way out? You know, what? But I don't understand. And they said, well, it's free. Oh, I don't understand. How can it be? You know, and all this. And I'm thinking this about Jesus and his sacrifice, because we have. So, again, in Romans, here we are, in Romans, let's get some context in Romans. We also boast. That's another one of those heads up. This is what was the first boast, you know? Okay, so we also boast. Therefore, so this is Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have the peace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to the grace in which we stand. And we boast in the hope of sharing the glory of God. That's really something to boast in, isn't it? I have access. What was it? Through whom we have obtained access to the grace in which we stand. I have access to God's grace. That is something to boast about. I have access to God's presence. That really is something to boast about. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings! Woohoo! and you're like, sorry, I got the first bit. What are you talking about here with the second bit? So it's all free. So in a little bit earlier in Romans 4, 13, it's talking about Abraham being justified by faith, and faith in God. And so there's just loads of crossover here with this Romans bit and with the Hebrews bit, because in the next bit in Hebrews, it's talking about all these different heroes of faith in the Old Testament being justified by faith and not through their actions. And one of my favourite bits in the Bible, actually, is... not this bit, we're getting there. It's gone to sleep. Oh, it's come back. For by grace, so Ephesians 2, 8... But by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, the faith that is. The faith is not your own doing, it's a gift of God. Not the result of works, so that no one can boast. So even the faith we have is not our own doing. That's the bit I was trying to connect with the NHS, I'm sorry. So I can stand in the presence of God, in the glory of God, because of my faith. And you can't even boast about your faith because the... the faith, God gave you the faith. So it's really free. It's really free. It's like, surely I have to pay for the drugs. No, no, it's free. £8, you know. And this kind of thing. So it's totally free. And yet, then we have this thing about faith and hope, about producing hope. And we have to have endurance. So what's going on here? So when I thought about times that I've had to have endurance and times that I've suffered, when I've had suffering that has produced endurance and character, yes it has, and actually hope, yes I can actually see all those things in the situation. The thing I'm thinking most about is when I had babies. Babies are hard, boring work, aren't they? And they don't let you sleep, and it never stops, and you don't know what they want, and you, oh my goodness. So the whole little baby thing is just not my cup of tea. Absolutely love them for about half an hour. Yeah. Fabulous.
Nothing prepares you.
Nothing prepares you for the overwhelming effort that babies are. And but when they got to about four, and in fact, I think even at the time I knew this, even at the time that I was going through babydom, I thought, oh, if I could just have them when they were four, if they could be given to me on a plate, if I could just skip babydom, that would be so nice. Four-year-olds are really cute, and you can talk to them, and, you know, there's some kind of reasoning available with them. It's interesting logic sometimes, but it's there, you know, not babydom. And I think, you know, I would think and I would say that it would be so lovely if I could just have them for when they're four. But then I wouldn't be their mummy. You know, you have to go through babydom to be their mummy. Now, you may be thinking, as I was, oh, what about adopted parents? That's fine. I think whatever age you get your child, you still got to go through becoming their mummy, you know, even if they're not a baby, or daddy, or whatever. Because you've got to go through that building of relationship. And I think this might be what this verse in Romans and in Hebrews is talking about, is that with suffering and endurance producing faith, what we're doing is going through becoming God's child. Is that too big a leap for you guys? It seemed logical to me. What we're doing is God is going through the becoming a parent phase with us, and we are going through the becoming a child phase with him. Now, this carries on, obviously, with us and God. This carries on all through our lives till we reach glory. But I think that's probably what's going on here. I think in the end, it's all about relationship with God and love. And the last bit, the bit I didn't put on here because I wanted to leave it till now, it is Romans 5, verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Hope doesn't disappoint us because of God's love. Okay. So it's all a process. Paul's taught me a word called iterative. It's iterative, he'll say. And at first I didn't know what that meant. And what it means is going around the cycle again. So because he's an engineer, when you're designing something and getting it ready for market or production, you go through a design cycle, and then you learn, in part of that cycle, you learn what else needs doing or fixing or whatever. And so you go through the cycle again. In each iteration, it's a new thing, it's a different thing in each iteration. And so it's an iterative process, he says. And I think that's true of our lives and our relationship with God. And Mum and I were saying just yesterday, actually, that because we went on a walk together, and you can't just read the Bible once and know everything that's in it, because it doesn't work like that, because it's about relationship. God will say different things to you at different times in your life. When you read it. And this is true, unfortunately, of suffering and endurance as well. I think this is a cycle, an iterative cycle, which forms us. So This Bible, actually, Dave Halls gave me this Bible. It's huge. It's got big enough text, which is nice, because all my other Bibles are tiny. And it's got, because it's called the Formation Bible, it has notes in it which are about our formation. And again, this is another one of those words which you go, well, you are. Sometimes, you know, so Dave, for a long time in leadership meetings, would talk about formation. And you go, oh, what? It's that process of becoming, of being formed. Just as my children made me into a mother, you know, by being my children, God is making us into his child by all the things that we're doing with him throughout life and all the things that are happening throughout life. And that's a really good place to end, because if we're remembering that whatever's happening to us, when we grow up normally through going through life, we're getting more information, we're getting more wisdom, we're getting more mature, and that's a really good thing. But I think with Christianity, it almost should be the other way around, in that our faith, Jesus said, should be like a child's. Our faith should be like a child, and our relationship with God should be like a child, in that we're becoming his child, and we're becoming people of faith with childlike faith. What's childlike faith mean? It's really full, isn't it? It's really full on childlike faith. Okay, I'm going to end there. That might not answer all your questions, and I hope it doesn't, because you've got to do that with God.